I am Adrien Garcia, entrepreneur, designer, and co-founder of the clothing brand Rayoni. And you are listening to The Bold Way. The future belongs to those who question the established order. But how do you reinvent the rules, create iconic projects, and work that will make history? The Bold Way is the podcast that gets into the minds of those who excel in the field. Fashion, entertainment, food, design, art, or business. Their common points? Hard work, boldness, innovation, and a particular focus on creativity and aesthetics. My mission is to dissect their methods and mindset through long and filtered interviews to give you the keys to their success and inspire you to create your own path. The Bold Way is more than just a podcast. It's a movement that encourages everyone to find their own way, carve their own path, and innovate in their field. The Bold Way is where creativity and innovation meets business. Enjoy the episode. Believe it or not, 75% of you haven't subscribed to the podcast on platform like Apple Podcasts or Spotify yet. If you are enjoying the podcast, I would really appreciate if you could subscribe using your favorite listening app. Your subscription truly supports the growth of the podcast. The more subscribers we have, the higher the quality of the guests we can bring on. Thank you so much in advance. Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening The Bold Way. Today, I am with Ari Nuriev. Hello, Ari.
Hi, how are you?
I'm very good, and you?
Great, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. To put a bit of context, I'd like you to tell us where we are today and describe a little bit the piece where we are now.
So we're in Paris at my studio in Saint-Germain-des-Prés, and we're at the living space sitting in the sofa that I present last year at Mobilier National in collaboration with the Minister of Culture of France. And this project was interesting because we were working with specific tapestry of 17th century that we transformed through AI and print with Pierre Frey. And now this piece is perfectly fit my living space, where we are right now.
That was the purpose at the beginning, to be able to put it in your place?
Not really. It's just a coincidence that it perfectly fit the square, which I was quite surprised, because, you know, it's 1 in 100 time when you do something without thinking to fit it somewhere and it fits. So it means that maybe it meant to be here.
My second question is who you are actually. How do you introduce yourself to the world when they ask you at a dinner party or wherever?
Well, that's an interesting question. As you know, lately I do so many different projects and I work in different mediums, and I just at some point stopped to find and define the word that describes my work. So I just introduce myself as Heron Reeve, and you know, if people ask, are you an artist or a designer? Well, you know, it's really a hard question for me. And to simplify, sometimes I say I'm designer and artist. Sometimes I say I'm artist. Sometimes I say designer. But, you know, this question has put me in stress and I don't really know what to say. I wish people will find a word for designers who work in art world and for artists who work in design world. This should be a word.
It should be a word. Let's find it. Today, I would like to understand who you are, where you come from, and the whole story behind Ari Nuriev from this heroic perspective. I like to tell you were born in Russia, and what brings you to this fashion, architectural, art world in Paris on the left bank. I want to understand the whole story through the different milestones of your career. Can you come back on your whole story, please?
Well, in 2010, there was my first touch of real design and architecture in one of the very nice design studio in New York of the guy who now is my friend, Luis de Cruz. And I was looking for something in my life and I didn't really know what will bring me. I didn't really know what I can bring to this world. I didn't really know what I can provide or what's my purpose. I mean, I guess it was quite late for me. I was 25, but I was I don't know what I was thinking, and I didn't have a really specific goal or agenda, but I was just intentionally had the feeling that it has to be something around design, art, and interior design, and maybe furniture. But again, now it's easy for me to think about it, but back in the day, I didn't really think about it at all. So naturally, I ended up at this beautiful atelier of this architect who became my friend. He's from Lisbon, and he's been living in Paris most of his life, and then he moved to New York. He was left hand of Pierre Cardin, and I was super lucky to meet him because it was my first touch in this industry. For someone who's already in between fashion world, architecture, design, and he didn't really have any boundaries between. Everything was pretty fluid with his work, and I just started my practice, and you know, and I start learning life of the industry through New York, through objects, and you know, a raw, uncut reality of environment of, you know, New York back in the days. I mean, it sounds like back in the days, 2010, feels like yesterday, but it's actually, New York is very different right now. And from there, I found out that I must do something around the, you know, indoor space somehow.
You were, what did you study?
I studied many things. I was in art school for 4 years, and I was in architecture school for 6 years, but I never had any attention to be artist or architect. It's just, you know, it's very interesting how my life changed when I first decided to do Crosby Studios. It was 4 years later, in 2014, and it was just an idea to change the industry, which is a really interesting thing for me. You know, when you not usually start your life, professional life, to change the industry. I don't know, maybe someone will disagree with me, but I guess first you have to learn how to, you know, choose the particular direction. And for me, I was just living in a world where interior design was, it was not just boring. It was it was only a few direction you can actually take, and probably maybe three different design. I call them design camps, where you know you're either in classic or in eclectic or in something else, and nothing really responding to your personal style. And if you think that how many personal styles we have, you know, it's really unheard of. Like today, people combine their style in a very interesting formulas that has to reflect in their personal space and how you think if you like to express yourself through fashion with certain things, and then you come in the same apartment that your friends has, or you know, across the world, not just in your city. And I was thinking it's not really fair, so I didn't really think about, you know, I couldn't speak for the rest of the world, but I would speak for myself. And I said, okay, if I will start with myself, with my own self, and I will define my I will translate my personal style to the space I live, and then I will think about other people, and I find other people who want the same thing. It was quite challenging, I have to say, because when you build your own alphabet and your own language of, you know, whether it's design, fashion, or art, you kind of have to understand that nobody really need anything because everyone has what they want. And you bring in something almost like an educational process, which takes time. And I think the one thing I surprised that from one side, it really took time to build a community around it. But another part, I was really surprised that some people actually really want to change their surrounding. And it was beautiful to see people who are looking for something different, just like me, in different industry, not necessarily in design, fashion. And one by one, you know, it turned to a very interesting stream, and with beautiful people all over the world, and who has nothing common but a desire to have something different. It's very different people, different age. It's, you know, you can't really define there as a, you know, as a professional or personality, by professional or personality criteria. And I think that the secret behind is just a sequence of hard working and, you know, trusting what I want and what I think, what I believe, even it's not exist yet. Because as we know, you know, when you don't really, as I found out, that if you don't first believe in yourself, then in the light moments of your life and happy moments, it's easy. But then when, you know, you go through difficult startup circumstances, that sometimes you're really ready to give up. So not to give up is help to define of what you really want and just trust yourself, which is, I guess, the most hard thing to do from one point, but it's very natural if you speaking of your passion and speaking of your nature.
Back in 2010, why did you decide to move to New York? What was so attractive about this city?
I don't know. I didn't think about this, you know, I didn't really make decision of thinking. I was just going to learn English, and I ran out of money, and I figured that I don't really want to, I'm not ready to work in, you know, McDonald's or stuff like that. I was thinking that I really want to find a real job in, you know,
in a creative industry, yeah.
In creative industry, and find myself and bring into the party. And yeah, I ask around my friends who's actually now in Paris too. They're both architects. We were studying together, and they already at the time work at this atelier too. So when we were like all connected and hang out, and that's really, you know, it's a really big luck to follow your instinct without downsize your value or thinking, oh, I cannot do that, I don't have enough skills and stuff like that. It's just, if life is based on your passion and if you really believe that you can change something, at least for your own personal space or personal life, then you will find people who can follow you, your journey at one point.
That's very interesting what you are saying, because yes, sometimes, you know, you didn't take the right way, the right, you didn't study the right things, you don't feel very ready to embrace a new industry, something new, etc. And you need to find the confidence to follow your dream and your instinct. Following your instinct, are you still following your instinct today? Because, I mean, you've got so much more to lose today compared to back in 2010. How do you choose your project? How do you choose your project now?
Well, let's talk about confidence. Confidence, it's actually at some days, you know, in your life when you can feel super down and demotivated, you don't really know if people want your work, if you actually on the right path of your professional journey or not. A confidence, it's something that can really help. I think I never really struggle with confidence, and it really helped me in the most difficult times. But you know, it's when you're talking about projects and you think like how you choose the projects, the first thing you have to say, ask yourself what kind of project you want to do. What is your area? What is your territory? What really inspire you? What brands inspired you? And do you really want to work with them? How they will transform your style? They will make you grow, or they will take you to a different direction in an experimental, cool way, or maybe they will bring you somewhere where you can lost yourself. So that's an exercise to think of partnerships, because, you know, once you're in the party and you know what you want to do, you will work with real people. You will work with not only artists, but it will be commercial companies, sometimes maybe corporate, sometimes not, but that will really affect your vision. At least it did my vision. And because, you know, we're not just individuals who sit in a studio and focusing on at our work. We also live in context, and context affecting us every day. And I think it's important, because that's how you can understand your sensibility. And it's not a bad thing, the sensibility as well.
Do you remember the very first day of Crosby Studio?
Well, it's Crosby Studios.
Studios.
It's in the end, and it's not a coincidence, because we do different, you know, I feel like we work in a different studios right now, because we do furniture, collectible objects, art. I have my personal line of things in Heron Reeve that I do more artistic projects and art installations. Obviously, you know, there is work that aligned with commercial hospitality projects, the big corporate projects. But there is so many things that we always exploring in our, we call it lab, where we're thinking of, you know, new materials. Not just because, you know, we want to know what's be up to date and know what's the last materials, but we just try to challenge the industry and challenge ourselves and always come up with something new that never exists before, not supposed to be inside or supposed to be only outside and stuff like that. That's the exciting part. Yeah, but first steps with Crosby. I mean, there is no secret that every startup is a startup. You know, sometimes it takes 3, 5, 10 years. You have to really prepare yourself to work on foundation and learn your journey and do your mistakes. And the most important is learn them and, you know, move on to something else, and apply them to your practice as an experience, not as a bad period. So yes, first 3 years was quite interesting because, you know, you have a lot of hopes and fears, and you just go on the flow and you try to find a right angle, take a niche and lead the style that you define.
Yeah. What was the first client, first project?
The first client, first project, you know, I think what's interesting was that after certain projects, I found myself extremely bored of the industry, almost disappointed, because life of interior design and life of architecture is a long-term projects, and it's pretty much about simplicity and comfort. And that's not where I came from. I came from the idea of to push boundaries and challenge myself, challenge my clients, challenge my partner. And then I decide to extend my practice to something that can excite me without changing my professional's area completely. And I found that every project we did was 100% customized. Maybe not 100%, no, it's a lie. I think it was maybe 80% customized. So then, and I was really passionate about furniture and objects. So then I was thinking, like, why would I start my own furniture line? And maybe not furniture line, maybe it will be a collectible objects and something that as a concept, it looks like furniture, but it's not really furniture. So I didn't really know the area of collectible furniture back in the day. It was just in a concept in my mind. And then I found out beautiful world of beautiful collectible world with incredible history that I didn't have any idea of. And I remember that I came up with a small concept and apply of multiple different design fairs. It was 2016 or 15. It was 16. It was the beginning of 16. So, and then I ended up doing, project was actually very simple, but I was very excited to discover this part of the industry. And we got approved by multiple different fairs, and I'll just look at the one that I can afford the most. It was Sight Unseen in New York during Design Week. And it was the first time when I actually, when I first time came in the front of the industry and with my work, where I have to speak with not just only my clients, but, you know, with everyone, actually, who have no idea what design is and different level of understanding. Also, obviously, everyone who is in charge of the industry, such as journalists, curators, and the most interesting for me was to talk to people who has the same, who decide doing the same thing in their life and who dedicate their life design, especially in collectible design. So I first time at my fellows and colleagues, and it was a very interesting thing. I understood immediately how small I am and how small the industry too, but how beautiful it is and how much of potential there, and that I really want to spend the rest of my life to do. So from then, I never questioned, never looked back. I guess this little element was very important for me. And since then, I try to, participate in every possible and impossible design fair all around the world. So I basically, I used to spend all my money that I made from the projects on prototypes, and I didn't think about it, practical part, not in business, not in objects that I work, because I was just so passionate about this part and what we call reinvesting. I think I reinvest my time, energy, and money to objects, and I participate in every single fair. It's not really a lot of fairs that represent artists in this particular territory. And already in 2017, I was first came with a group show at Design Miami with a gallery that I... It was my first gallery at Patrick Parrish, and he was really big inspiration for me. That's where actually start to think that, industry not that small. And after that, every year, I try to bring something that's really close to my heart and important to me, to the fair, to Design Miami, to kind of, show what I was working at, for the following time, and what I feel about design, what I feel about art. And it was quite a journey, I will have to say. So now it's 2024. And we're celebrating 10 years, actually, of our professional practice. And it's small enough to think about future, but it's big enough to kind of circle the full round of my professional actions one by one, to review them and see this big picture and try to not to follow the formula, but maybe find a new formula over again to start a new circle. It's like a spiral, it's a circle that comes around the round that was smaller, and to make a bigger one and bigger one after. And it's actually quite challenging things to do, I have to say, to
reinventing himself,
reinventing, and also planning is a very important thing in every single area. It doesn't have to be always dedicated to only artistic part. It doesn't have to be only in the business part. It's just about life, It's where you feel you belong to, what's your community, who is your people, who is your support system, not just in an internal world, but just overall. And the most important, who you serve to, because when you find your tool and know how to parade and work, and you know specifically how the what's the nature of the of you know of let's say in my world, in art and design world, and it's almost like a doctor. So you dedicate your life and you have no other choice, so you have to surf. You can't choose your passions. You can say, I'm not going to work with this, I'm going to work with this. And it's just, it's a really a little bit bigger than your ambition from one side, and it's bigger than just a service. So it's really a big mission that you can't really play around your personal mood and play around the, your capability. You really have to train it every day, because at some point people will really want to work with you, and then you need to, you really need to surf, and you need a really good quality and quantity, and it's it require to work with other people, build your team, and work on quality and management and all these things that, you know, we don't usually talk, because we have to be always in an artistic side of our personality. But, you know, every artist are thinking about it at some point.
Yeah, every artist is an entrepreneur at the end.
Yeah.
Do you feel yourself as an entrepreneur as well?
You know, I don't really feel this way, because I'm lucky. I have incredible team, and there is, you know, there is different hats and people running different areas. I never felt as an entrepreneur in my life, no matter, you know, if I tried hard to or not try hard. It's just, I guess it's just not my personality, thinking of my work through business aspect. But I really like to work, you know, and it never was about business side. It was always about design. And now we're super successful today, and we're super lucky to have extremely loyal clients, and have incredible partners across the globe. But I never really think about, you know, this aspect, which it's not a really a formula, you know. It's not like you don't have to think about it, you have to think about that. It's just really what's your nature. Because I know some of my colleagues, they're focused more on the business side, and they're also super successful, and the work is also super nice. I guess it just has to go, it has to do something with your personality. You can't really train. You can't train some of your sides, but you focus on what, on your core, and your, and all of our cores are different.
Of course. I would like to understand how you find your way, how you find your thing, your stuff. I mean, in French, we are telling your ta patte, your alphabet. How do you manage to create something radically new in this world of art and design, and architecture and interior design? Can you take us through the process?
Well, the process in the beginning was coming from rejection. So everything I did was opposite side of what I supposed to do, when it comes to materials or shape or layout and every single aspect of my work was negative. And at some point I start to feeling that I need something more than just only rejecting traditional way of thinking about the space. And, you know, radical work is not only about rejection. It's also about knowing history and play with the history also as a big element of the formula, and also understanding the future based on it, not just your fantasy of how you based on your fantasy of the about a future, you know, of your personal library that based on, I don't know, fantasy movies and books, but also of the context of how we, you know, how we spend our time now. What's the size of the kitchen should be nowadays, and what does living space look like, and why it's this shape, and you know, how many people we hang out with, and all these kind of details that really affect in shape and surface and meaning of our work. And so then I decide to bridge it. I bridge my radical approach, history, and understanding of context. But these three parts of my work I explored separately as an experimental subject, and it was quite interesting. And now, you know, being in Paris, let's talk about Paris.
Yeah, why did you move to Paris?
I didn't really, again, it's so me, I didn't really plan anything. So as most of my clients are fashion brands, and as you know, headquarters of
fashion brands, yeah,
fashion world based in Paris. So I came here to one of my clients to bring commission work with my carry-on, and just simply decide to stay. We launch at the same time a project at Dover Street Market, and where Sarah Adelman introduced me to where Sarah Adelman introduced me to them. And I really own a lot of credit to her, as she was the person who discovered my work in Paris. She discovered my work and bring it to Paris. And it was very big shift from it was a big shift for me, and I didn't know that, you know, it will be another chapter. You know, I was thinking it will be just a continuation of my work and extension of my practice, but it really changed me. Maybe not change. I think it's a wrong world. I think it's more adjust me and turn me in direction that I was, you know, supposed to look at, and that's where I found the history. And we had this beautiful project with SAR that we did for Dover Street Market, with this blue cafe that from one side was very simple design exercise, but from another side I didn't really know that we exploring new way of of living, you know, where design, function, hospitality, community, retail all go together in the one beautiful historical place with the contrast of my work. And that's where I met Paris, you know, and that's where I found myself in a new world. I always loved Paris, you know. I first time came to Paris in 2000, in early 2000s, and I obviously I haven't even dreamed about to move there, but obviously apparently I did, as you know, I guess I manifested at some point, because it was very out of blue. And and Paris challenged me a lot creatively. Paris asked me a lot of questions and poke me, you know, in a good way. And that's where I start to really think of bridging and different things that I never had a chance to bridge and have this strong dialogue with a community that I was missing my entire life. So I think it's very important. And that's where I can actually say that context is working more than you can possibly think.
Fantastic. You've been working for so many brands. Can you tell us who are you working with at the moment? I've seen all your collaboration with We Are Ona, with Dover Street Market, with Puzalp, with Sarah. You've been working on a lot of projects with Sarah Andelman. Can you tell us one of these projects or a project that you didn't mention and take us through?
Collaborations are a big part of my life. I do love to work with people more than I like to work with myself. I'm not really a solo when it comes to doing something fun and cool. I really like to partnership and collaborate with beautiful minds and, you know, have this endless conversation and sparks of ideas. It's really interesting. It's really drive my it really drives my big part of my life. And I've been focusing on working in collaboration with fashion brands since the very beginning. And I don't know why, but I was always thinking that, you know, interior design, interior design flow is quite slow. And I was always admired fashion energy. And I didn't know how to find an angle to work with fashion, as I'd never had any intention to go in fashion world. And I still don't have this idea, but I do love to time the time partnership and translate the world to my world or vice versa. So first collaboration we did was in 2017 with fashion brand. It was opening ceremony. Back in the day, they had a beautiful store in Crosby Street in New York. We took over their front side of the store and did furniture based on what we believe that opening ceremony is. And then it took us to work with Nike and Balenciaga and so on and so on. So always was idea to have a furniture piece for fashion brand, which is, you know, you don't go to fashion for furniture and you don't want to know an interior design about fashion, but actually you won and we discovered this interesting area for ourselves, and it was quite also quite challenging creative way of thinking, as it's a different alchemy. You don't really work in a fashion platform as you work in a design platform. You have to think about different kind of garments, you bring in materials and meanings that completely outside of design world. But it was very interesting. I still love it. We still do a lot of collaborations. And
working, for example, for Balenciaga, with Balenciaga, in collaboration with Balenciaga, what the discussion, for example, with Demna Gvasalia, when you've done your clothing accumulation into a sofa, what was the interaction? Was it a carte blanche or was it a discussion, a conversation?
You know, it's always very different, and I think we just trust each other, and we had this idea of stuff, sofa with archive pieces of the house and cover it with a biodegradable material, and then we'll just, you know, it was just a concept, and then we kind of start to back and forth of what exactly it should be and how we should present it. I mean, usually brands are trust us, and we we try to, as we try to push them and challenge them, I guess that's the one of the reason why they come in to us, to have a fresh air, and they understand also for us it's also a fresh air. So it's this type of collaboration are usually can be a big vacation from daily routine. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's still a project, but I think we have different angles, but we always find it similar attention, and but it's important to, in this case, it's important to find a brand that really resonate with you, and then it will be very organic. Then you will never think who did who, you know, and how it went, and it will be just very natural. That's the nature of collaboration.
What is your ambition for interior design? What I mean is, you are designing for a bunch of happy few, or you want to change the way we live our interior?
You know, now my ambitions after 10 years of practicing in Crosby Studios, just to continue to do what we do every day, and having the same, you know, conversation, same agenda of a new way of living, whether it's, you know, your personal space, a residential, or it's hospitality, or it's just an object. But I think the hidden part of this idea, it was always to make people feel different when they, you know, walk in the space. I mean, it's not just a space. Sometimes it's outdoor objects and things like that too. But having the different feeling from the one that you had a second before, that's an important thing. And it was always behind everything we did. And we just want to continue to do it.
Great. What is your what legacy do you want to leave? You're still very young, and I'm sure you are this kind of person who never arrived, who will never arrive. But at the end of the day, you are almost in your 40s, midlife. What do you want to leave as a legacy?
A couple years ago, after many times that, you know, a journalist and friends and colleagues ask me, what is the style you work on? You know, it's a big question. You actually have to ask yourself, what's your style? What were you? I mean, we all don't want to belong to anything, but in the end of the day, style is defined part of the history that you can actually ignore, but then it's important to know your elements. And I found myself somewhere in between many different styles, but none of them really feel my what I'm trying to say. And I decided to find my own word that describe my style, my professional style, and I landed in transformism, and I call myself transformist. And since then, it became a strong legacy for us.
And what does it mean exactly?
In transformism, we believe that shape was already explored, every color was explored, technology almost explored, and philosophy was explored last century. So now we just have this endless inventory of things that already exist, and we have to repurpose them and find new life. And you can think that it looks like upcycling, but upcycling, it's a technique of approach. A technique and approach of, you know, of working. And transformism, it's a philosophy. It's a mission that brings that also a sort of visual codes and ideas that bigger than technique. And we still define it, and still trying to find the right words to explain, but it's already changed my life, even my personal life, of the way how I, you know, buying things, how I bring in things to my personal space, and how I make this decision. And if I can use objects or clothes or things then longer than I used to do it before. All these kind of questions are very important, and there is something to do with being humble, being true to yourself, and that's where function the real meaning of function is came in out as an, you know, and as a main surface.
Yourself looks like you've been part of your work in the sense of your personal branding, the way you look, the way you belong to your art. I'd like to have your reflection on it.
I came before my work, and the first attention was to actually describe my personal style, the way how I think, in the way how I behave to physical space. So it always it never was secret for me to, it never was secret to anyone that I really like to use my personal daily life as an experiment for, you know, for my work. So it's just, again, it's very natural for me. I never overthink or overworking hard on how, you know, I look and what I do in my personal time, as it's the idea of it to be true to yourself and try to connect yourself to, in my case, to design and art.
Fantastic. One more question. If you had only one advice to give me, what would it be?
I had this one of my lecture. And in one of my lecture in university, I was, you know, asked this question again. What's the advice? And I said, you know, really, you have to find yourself, you know, shape it and bring it to the party. You really have to trust your intuition. And people like, no, listen, give us like real formula. This is very, it's very concept idea, and there is no formula. You really have to stop, look around. You have to train yourself not to listen first, and go, you know, deep inside of your soul, your heart, and your mind, and find things that maybe nobody needs right now, but you feel that, and you trust that something that really makes you, you know, be excited and wake up in the morning and run your day with. And then you have to learn how to listen, and then you will listen to the rest of your life. And the game is to balance these two things, you know, listen yourself and not listen anyone, but then listen that people who needs your professional input. And it's two different action. It's like breathe in and breathe out. You can do it in the same time. But if you will learn how to do that, I guess that's what the secret of believe in yourself, because you can't just only focus on your own internal voice and not listen anyone else's. Otherwise, you will live in without a context. And at the end of the day, you come in this world to serve, basically, to, you know, to serve the purpose. And if you only listen surrounding, then you will just lost completely and vanish and become a part of something that you're not part of, actually, because you're different than everybody else. So I guess that's balance is a good it will be a good a daily exercise that I will say will be my advice.
Perfect. One last question. Who would you like to listen to in this podcast?
I think I would like to go to museum territory and maybe listen a podcast with a director of Museum of Louvre, Donatien Gros.
Donatien Gros, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I think that will be interesting because his background from fashion, and he also makes two different, I think it's more than two, but two major environments, fashion and art. I think that will be interesting for me to listen.
Definitely. Good one. Thank you so much, Harry.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
My name is Adrien Garcia, and you've just listened to The Bold Way. Find this episode in text and pictures at thebaldway.fr. The Bold Way is where creativity and innovation meets business. Thank you for your trust, and see you soon for a new episode.